Hello and welcome to the would-be second episode of Gaming Union's community event, New Game Plus, or NGP for short. The community event, which is similar to a book club, but instead of reading books, we play games. My name is Behan, and my co-host is Mike.
Hello, everyone.
And our special guest, Melissa.
Hi.
Now to explain why I said would-be second episode, there is actually a episode one, but due to technical difficulties, that never really worked. So instead of re-recording, we just decided to roll it over to the second week of New Game Plus and basically do episode one all over again by looking at the first five dungeons instead of the first two. Now, for the fifth season of NGP, the community has chosen to play Legend of Zelda for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Okay, so start things off. Guys, what are your initial thoughts of this game? Mike?
Well, first, I must say that although I'm not the kind of player that likes to play 2D games, I must say that Legend of Zelda is a really good game for its time. I mean, it was a game that initially was released almost 30 years ago, and yet it delivers an amazing experience of with an enormous world to explore.
Yeah. It's funny you say that. It's about 27 years this year, so yeah, looking back at all those other games that we've gotten, it's just amazing how much the series has grown, but it has had a very high standard from the very start, because this game is pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But that's just my opinion, so Mel, your thoughts?
I think the game is pretty advanced for its time. The AI is really smart. For a game that was made almost 30 years ago, there's tons of stuff to find and lots of exploration.
Yep.
Tons of monsters, lots of collectibles.
Lots of smart monsters.
Oh yeah, lots of smart monsters.
Oh, hello snakes.
Hello, shielded guys.
Oh, yeah, the ones that, like, charge at you?
Yeah.
And you get to a tank.
The moment you step out, they start coming, running towards you, and you have a split second to use either a boomerang or just try to attack them with your sword. Yeah.
Or leave a bomb behind.
It can get a bit annoying. Sorry?
Or leave a bomb behind.
Oh, yeah.
Or leave a bomb behind. That's a very, very good tactic as well, but personally, I'm not the kind of person to actually use a bomb, because I don't know.
You don't want to use a bomb unless you really have to.
Yeah, that's basically it.
But
yeah.
Using the bomb is my cheap tactic, so.
Yeah, it is pretty cheap.
Well, you actually need to use the bombs for the second dungeon boss. And is it the fourth dungeon or third dungeon where it's got that spinning?
The third.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where you can actually kill the boss with one very 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 well placed bomb.
You can do that in every boss.
Yeah, you can. But it just makes it so much more easier with that boss, because it's moving really fast. No, that's the second dungeon.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. Funny
you mentioned that the fifth dungeon has three of those.
Oh god. And like if you die in there, you have to get them all over again, and you have to find bombs, and it's annoying, and
correct me if I'm wrong, but once you kill them, they don't spawn back?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yep. Okay,
they do.
Well, that is really, really, really annoying.
I know.
Oh, boy. But Yeah, so to roll things along, we will actually be looking back at the first five dungeons. Not Atrium, because that would take way too long, but some highlights and some moments when we felt like we would want to rage quit and never play this game again. But yeah,
the second dungeon brings back memories.
Oh yes, the second dungeon definitely does. Just Mike, can you please explain why?
Finding the dungeon is the reason I almost rage quit. Just finding it.
What? Really?
I was running in circles around the dungeon. I couldn't
find
it.
Yeah, a lot of them are really hard to find.
Can you believe I actually found the fifth dungeon while looking for the second?
I think I found the third one before the second one.
But the third one is easy. The fifth one, it's an enigma to find. And I managed to find it and not find the second dungeon. I had to use the map.
I actually gave a hint in the week one thread, and I go, wait, if I can actually bring that up. Mm. It was something really... It was actually, I don't know, it was something pretty easy, but... Easy for me, but...
I followed that tip, and it still didn't work.
Oh, if the forum decided to load up for me. Where are we? Okay. Yeah. Okay, the hint was, right from the dungeon, the boomerang is found, which is a reference to the first dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is, if you look on the map, directly to the right.
It is.
But...
I think I missed a few items. I had to go back, so I was like, what boomerang?
I forgot to get the bow.
Yeah,
oh, the bow, that's right, yeah. Oh, that actually reminds me. Just to clarify for the listeners, me and Mike have played the first five dungeons where Melissa is just about to start it, so...
No, I was there, I just haven't beaten it yet.
Okay, well, yeah.
I just might have to finish it.
Yeah, well, it doesn't take that long now, now that you've got the magical sword. But, for the fifth dungeon, you have the Paul's voice, which are those rabbit-like looking...
Ooh.
I avoided
those.
Yeah, the easiest way to get rid of them is actually using the arrows.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I went out of the dungeon and farmed some rupees for about, I don't know, a good 10-15 minutes, and got the arrows at the store. So it just made it that much easier for me, because when looking back, if you have the magical sword, it takes like 3 or 4 hits, or if you use the white sword, it's about like 8. So it takes way too long. Yeah.
To kill the, that's bad.
They call Paul's voice. Or if you have a arrow, which is only limited to the amount of rupees you have, you can take him out with one shot. So it makes life that much more easier, and you don't have to keep on buying arrows all the time, due to the fact that your meter is just how many rupees you have. So if you have like 255, which is your
max
rupee limit, you're set, because you're never going to use 255.
So wait. So what does it do? Like, you buy one arrow, right? So then it takes it away from your rupees every time you use one?
Yeah.
Oh, so how many rupees do you lose every time you use an arrow?
Just one.
Oh, well, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's really easy. And
I might
really
as well
simple.
Just pick one up.
Yeah. Well, there are many stores located around the overworld, and I think all of them sell arrows or two.
Most of them.
Yeah, most of them.
The hidden ones I know don't.
Yeah, the hidden ones The other ones you can find, I think it was Baked and the Blue Ring,
mm-hmm.
which for the people that are currently playing, that actually removes half your half the damage dealt
with the bait
by the enemies. No, the bait actually lures them away from you.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I haven't really noticed anything.
It's a bit of a distraction for them, which actually makes some enemies really easy to deal with, especially like the Dark Nuts in the fifth dungeon.
It's true, they have been pretty distant from me.
Yeah.
Even with the beam sword, it's hard to damage.
Yes.
Them.
Yes. that actually brings up a good point of the potions.
Mm-hmm.
And the epic saga to get those potions. Because the first time that I played it a long time ago, I was running around going, so how do I get potions? This is really annoying. And then, reading a guide to figure it out. I was like, okay. But yeah... Ever since then, now that I know how to do it, the first thing I do is just get those potions straight away. Yeah. And it makes life so much more easier. Really does.
I only got the potions right before the fifth dungeon, and I didn't use it.
I think I got them even before I got the first dungeon done.
I was searching back for the fifth dungeon, and I finally found the old man. Finally.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's pretty impressive that Mike, you can actually you've been able to last that long. But why am I surprised? You're the person that actually figured out how to kill those enemies to get the magic boomerang in the second dungeon on your first try. So
wow,
I just spam with the beam sword, nothing more, and then I left some bombs. When I got damaged.
Yes.
I was like, oh shit, I got damaged. Use a bomb.
Use a bomb.
For me, that was probably, I don't know, about 5 or 6 times I died in that room alone. Which was, oh my god, that was really annoying. That was really annoying. But, yeah, my death count isn't to crash up, but I'm not going to say how much it is. I can actually leave it to the audience to guess, and then I'll go higher or lower. That makes life a little bit more interesting. You can guess, but I don't remember the number off the top of my head.
Okay. It's probably a lot lower than mine, because I'm really bad at this game. I was, like, playing, and it was Saturday, and my friend's like, you died again? I'm like, yeah.
Don't worry, I died at least 10 times while searching for the second dungeon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. That, very annoying, very annoying.
You said the fourth dungeon was hard to find, but I managed to find... almost as soon as I got the red.
Oh god, the fourth dungeon.
I don't know, I hate how, like, you know where it is, and you've been there before, but then when you want to find it, you can't. It's like, gosh, where is the fifth dungeon? I've been here before, and I just can't find it because I'm on the other side of the map. And I'm like, the heck, man.
Actually, yeah, it's very interesting. To actually get to the fourth dungeon, you have to use an item. You have to use an item that you have to find in the third dungeon, or else it just does not work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really annoying if you're just running around the overworld and you're going, well, where the heck is this fourth dungeon?
I know,
dungeon?
Right?
Until then. Then when you realize, so you actually need to go into the third dungeon to find the raft. Then it makes everything so much more easier, which actually also makes life a little bit more easier, because once you actually finish the third and fourth dungeon, you can actually get two heart containers, really easily, because they're just right in front of you. One's on a raft and one's just using the ladder, and that's it.
Yep.
So easy. So easy.
Very easy.
But yeah, Mal, do you have any highlights, anything that you've liked so far?
Let's see. I like that not every enemy gives you rupees, because you have to keep farming. I mean, I know it's a little bit annoying, but
yeah.
It would be super generous and super, like, cheap if it gave you, like, an item on every single monster that you defeated.
Yeah.
I mean, it provides a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a very, very good point. It does take a bit of a while, but you get there. You definitely do get there in the end. And I know this isn't Game of Union related, but if anyone watches Game Trailer's Pop Fiction episodes, they actually did one last week or the week before based on The Legend of Zelda and the item drops that the enemies actually do. And it's actually quite a very interesting video, because they actually they actually look into one of the tips that the old man gives you, where it's like the 10th enemy gives you the bomb, which you'll actually have to watch to get what they're trying to do. But yeah, that gives you a bit of a insight into the item drops into The Legend of Zelda, and it can actually help you out if you can figure out how to do it. But yeah, it's really interesting. For my highlight before we continue, I actually like how the items in the game actually mean something, instead of just, oh, you collect it and you never have to look at it again, which is not the case. Like, you actually need to use all the items to progress in the game, so it does.
It's not like you get them and use them one time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, technically, you don't need the blue candle. You can just risk going into the dark.
Oh, well. We can. It's funny you say that, but I'll leave that till the moment that I. To the moment that I don't like. But don't worry, that's coming. But yeah, I just like how, yeah, the items, like Mike brings up a good point that yes, you can use the blue candle like never, but you really need to memorize the floor design of that room to be able to get it done well. But yeah, I don't know, it's just not my cup of tea to start memorizing each dungeon floor, and yeah. But that leads us to the moments that we don't like. Now, I can see that this is gonna probably take a while, but let's try and keep this condensed, guys. So Mike, what do you not like in Legend of Zelda so far?
Okay, the fact that I can burn myself with the blue candle. That's the first one.
Me too.
Second one.
Isn't that just realism in gaming?
Yeah, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know it would like stay there a few seconds. I was like, whoop, move forward. Dang, I get burned. I like didn't know, so like... Really weird.
It happens to me quite often. It was not just once. I did that at least 10 times now.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, how much heart
Heart
how much heart pieces or yeah, how much that does it take away?
Half, I think. If you have the blue ring.
Oh, that's yeah, okay. So it takes away one full heart container then. Because the way that items work in the game, like in terms of the upgradable ones, like
yeah.
If you have the blue tunic, let's just say for example if you're using the blue candle, it'll take one heart container. If you use the blue ring, it takes away half, so gives away, so you lose half a heart. And for the enemies that take away half a heart,
mm-hmm.
You actually get no damage taken the first time that you get hit, so you can still use the sword beam, but you only have that one leeway.
As if you have the magical bracelet.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. Sorry, Mike. What else don't you like?
The range of the sword.
Yeah,
yes.
The range of the sword is kind of.
You have to.
It doesn't seem like it gets better with every one you get. You know.
You have to be in the face of the enemy for it to hit. It's a risky move.
Yeah.
Too much, really.
Well.
Especially in boss fights.
Oh yeah, like the one in the fourth dungeon. We have to run and dash in its face.
Exactly.
Basically.
That and the fact.
Oh yeah.
And the fact that when you die, you restart with just 3 hearts.
Yeah, that's annoying
too.
I mean,
and even when like you have a ton of hearts, like I have 12 now. So like when I die, I'm just gonna restart with 3. So why not, when you have more hearts, you just reset with the half of your hearts, you know?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But
it's annoying.
Then again.
Because if you want to get the beam sword, it will take quite a while.
Yeah.
Unless you use
and you would actually make the game that much more easier.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, but this is actually the first cartridge to have a battery back save feature. So you can see that they are pretty pioneering, but it does. It does get really annoying, but
yeah.
you can see what they're trying to do for the most part.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anything else you don't like, Mike?
That's it. That's my only complaint.
Wow, that's actually a really short list. Mel, how about you?
What do I not like? I hate the fact that a lot of enemies. What?
Where to begin?
Where to begin? The fact that a lot of enemies like to charge at you, and
yeah.
Also with that whole range thing. I mean, it's nice that like sometimes when you hit enemies, they jerk back, you know. But it sometimes doesn't seem like when you upgrade a sword. Your range has been improved, you know?
No, your range doesn't get improved. It's only
the
amount of damage.
Take. Yeah.
No, the damage that you give.
Yeah.
With the swords, yeah. Which,
so,
yeah.
The whole thing with the slash, I don't know what it's called, I forget, where you go in a circle, that wasn't created till later, right?
It wasn't until A Link to the Past on the Super Nintendo.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I mean,
Zelda
without
2,
these, like, special attacks that you can use in the later games, it does make it a lot more challenging.
Yeah.
With the fact that you can only slash, you know.
In a forward direction and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Only bombs.
All leave bombs.
All bombs.
Yeah. Anything else you don't find pleasing?
That's pretty much it.
Wow.
Sometimes I wish that, you know, you could, like, use your shield to deflect everything, you know, except for like blows, but you know.
Well, yeah, there is. Well, once you get the once you get the magic shield, it does make it better.
Yeah, but I wish that you could like bounce it and then hit the enemy, you know. But that would make things really, really easy.
Yeah, it would. It would.
You know, it'd just be cheap then.
Well, I think I think this game gives away too many cheap shots. So, yeah. yeah, no, that's a very good point. Now, the things that I don't like, there are, well...
Several?
There are several, but I might just only talk about two, because I would just bore everyone to death. But, the first thing I do not like is... Dungeons 3 through 5 and the I call them the Dungeons of the Blue Candle, where you actually need to use the blue candle to actually see where the hell you are going.
Yeah.
It's just like, and really?
I wish like the blue candle would be usable all the time, like in a screen, maybe, you know, using your rupees as power for that, but no, you can only use it once a screen, which is so annoying.
Like, yeah.
I know.
No, you are 100% correct. It is so annoying. Like, I'm like, really? Really? Oh my god. But, yeah, they just, I don't know, rub me the wrong way, and like, it does lead me on to my next point of, I know this is one of the first adventure games, and I respect Zelda for what it is, but when you actually have to use a blue candle, then you want to use another item, you have to press start, wait for the thing to calm down, then select the item you want, then press start, and then wait for the screen to go back, which is like 10 to 15 seconds of just waiting there going... Oh, please, hurry up, please. Like,
it's so annoying.
Exactly.
It is so annoying, but I do respect Nintendo for what they have achieved with The Legend of Zelda, but if there was one thing that I would change, it would be that. But funnily enough, now that I think of it, in Japan, this is a little bit of a history lesson, but Nintendo looked into the world of downloadable content for the Super Nintendo back in the late 90s till about 2000. Yeah, it's called the Satellaview, where you could actually download games in their set time period. And one of the games that they actually released was a 16-bit version of The Legend of Zelda, and they actually mapped the item swapping to the left and right triggers, so you didn't have to press start. And
that's,
I was
a
like,
good idea.
That is really awesome. But yeah, apart from that little bit of history, another thing that I despised in the fourth dungeon were the like-likes, which are those enemies that
suck you up and steal your shield.
Yeah, that's the one. Like,
yeah,
and they don't actually give it back. Like,
they don't. Here you have to go buy it again.
You have to go buy it again.
Oh my god.
Which enemy?
Yeah, and the like-likes, they are the, they're the ones that look like a cup, in a way.
they sort of look like a cup.
Yeah. And they jump around.
Because of the way that...
Oh. The jumping ones. Oh, alright.
Yeah.
The sprites look really weird.
Yeah. If you get sucked up by them, they eat up your shield, so you go back to the wooden shield, which at this moment of the game, when you're used to using the magic shield, you're like, this has no protection at all. This is crap. So you have to, like, get out of the dungeon, go find a store, farm, I think it's about 60 or 90 rupees again, and then go back, and then pray to God that you don't get sucked up by those lark-likes and you kill them before they eat you. But, yeah, it is terribly annoying.
I still didn't get the magical shield, so that's no problem.
Wait, you didn't?
No.
Wow.
I can't find it.
This guy plays hardcore. he's hardcore. The magic shield is probably one of the easiest items to find because I think they are one of the items that are located in every store.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't think
some stores have them a bit more pricier than the others, but it's possible to find them. Like,
I think I might have bought it 2 times.
Oh, really?
I wasn't sure. I was like, 60? 130? Which one's which?
No, they're both the same. It's the way Nintendo set it out is they actually force exploration. So just think about it like this. You're a kid in the 80s. And you're all talking about The Legend of Zelda, and someone goes, well, I found a magic shield for 60 rupees. And you go home and play The Legend of Zelda, and you find out that the magic shield that you found was 130 rupees. So you're like, well,
oh, darn. Wow.
Something's not right. I need to go, well, instead of saying that that your friend hacked, you could go and explore, which
it makes it
a little bit more exploration-y, if that's a word. But yeah, I can see what they're trying to do with that, and it's really cool, but yeah, it is really annoying because unless you have memorized each shop, their location, and how many rupees each item is sold for, you have to go around to, like, every single store that you know and look it up, start writing notes, and yeah, it's really annoying. But yeah, that's my list of complaints. Next up, we will be taking some posts from the community that our members have made, and we'll have a little bit of a discussion. So, yeah, Mike, what have you got for us?
Well, I got this post from Simone, and she said, okay, I got the second Triforce piece. I do enjoy playing these older games because of the simplicity. The bosses were very easy. The tricky part for me was getting to the boss. The blue boomerang guys drove me nuts, so I always ran past them. The range of the sword was a problem for me too, because I would run into the enemies and die. I didn't use the boomerang much, and I bought the shield and the blue candles, as I assume I might need them later on. Now, she makes a really good point. The problem here is not beating the boss, it's more like getting to the boss. I had that problem in the second dungeon, just to find the second dungeon.
Yeah.
The fourth dungeon to get the raft was a nightmare too. I was running around in circles. I was like, how am I supposed to cross that? Then all of a sudden, I managed to push a block, and some magical ladders, stairs appears. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. So this is what I needed to find. Yeah. That's how I beat the boss.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you need to know what you're doing. Like, it's not like one of those modern games where it's like got like 30 arrows pointing where you need to go, and
it's not like someone's there to tell you where to go, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it was Melissa that we had this conversation. It's we were talking about modern games, and it was like, well, what do you expect? You don't want a game to give you like 30,000 hints. Yeah. And all of them really obvious, like, you must get this item to progress in the game. Like,
yeah, like, it doesn't tell you how to get to the dungeon, it just lets you off on your own to go get it, you know?
Some modern games, even with the linear path, they tell you where to go. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I know, it's just, hello, Final Fantasy 13.
Exactly. Yeah. A straight corridor, you have to go to that point. I mean,
you have to get to the end of the corridor.
Is there any optional path? No. So why do I need an arrow?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just like, really? Do I need it? But, like, if there was any game that needed it, it would be this game, but I'm really happy that there isn't. Which, I know for that time, you'd really, things like that weren't needed because games were harder back then. And if you were able to purchase the magazine back in the day, Nintendo Power, it would actually help you out, which, even though it's not as dependent on the Nintendo Power, for example, like Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, it's still... It still made the game easier if you had the magazine, but the game was still manageable if you didn't purchase it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah. Melissa, do you have a comment for us?
About this comment?
Yeah. Or anyone that you want to talk about?
Should I just read this next one then?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, so a Spoony Bard says, well, finally a reason for me to play Legend of Zelda. I bought it on Virtual Console a while ago, but I never got around to beating it. Fortunately, I remembered where the first two dungeons were and was able to go through them really easily. Except when I came running into a wall master, those hands always freak me out for some reason. Maybe the fact that you're being grabbed by a giant disembodied hand. yeah... I basically avoided those things. Can you actually defeat them at all?
I have no idea.
I think you can, but they do take some damage. Mm. Like, quite a bit.
I think the
only... If my memory serves me correct, if you get grabbed by them, I think they take you back to the start of the dungeon.
Oh. Really?
Yeah, they are really annoying. Like, I know... from playing Ocarina of Time that when they grab you, they take you back to the start of the section of the room, but
do they show up anywhere else?
I think so. I'm not too sure.
I think I only found them on the first dungeon.
Yeah, so far I've only found them on the first dungeon, but I'm not too sure if they're in the later ones. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
In the coming weeks, but...
Maybe they're hiding in the dark if you don't use the blue candle.
Yeah, that's true.
Ooh, that'd be scary.
The dungeons of the blue candle. Oh, God. But, yeah. Now, I want to bring up a post that Varnus made in week one. And he said, so far I died 3 times in the first 5 minutes. I need to step up my game a bit. Varnus, so do I, buddy. Don't worry, you're not alone.
We all are
not alone. When I started playing the game after like, I think it was about 2 years since the last time I played. Yeah, I was really adjusted to playing newer games, and it took me a while to get back into the swing of things and getting my patterns all sorted out to get rid of enemies without taking any hits, and yeah, it took a while, and I died a ridiculous amount of times. It was really annoying. So, buddy, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You're fine. But yeah. And for our last comment, Mike, do you wanna read it out for us?
Okay. This comment comes from Waldo Lungs Snouts Dong. Pardon me if I'm saying it wrong. I'm sure I am.
You're right.
I reached the checkpoint. After taking a break from boss number 4, I gave it another go, and it actually ended up being kind of easy. I didn't have to use the sword being active. Dungeon 5 was a pain in the arse. If you hate the night guys, the guys you can hit from the front, just wait till you get the blue knights. The boss of Dungeon 5 was kind of a pushover though. I have to say the defense boosting ring is pretty damn awesome. If you're finding things difficult, I recommend getting it on that ASAP. I found 2 heart containers on the overworld so far, so I'm sitting on 10 hearts. I finally got the arrows. I assume you would just have the ammunition like later the Zelda games. So I was waiting for enemies to drop them, but it wasn't happening, so I bought them. At first I was thinking, unlimited ammo? This is overpowered as hell. Then I noticed my rupees depleting as I used arrows. Still not bad though, as rupees are plentiful. I've located Dungeon 6 during my travels, still haven't used a walkthrough or map yet. I must say.
Wow, that is impressive. That is amazing.
Impressive.
That's badass.
Very impressive.
Man. Badass.
He is very impressive.
I mean, I wouldn't even find a second dungeon without the map. And he managed to do all this without walkthrough or map.
Yeah.
Pretty hardcore.
That is pretty damn hardcore. And he was talking previously in the post how he is only getting through with using hints that the old man and old lady give him. So to be able to figure it all out and progress without using any guides or maps or whatever, that is pretty damn awesome. Yeah, very awesome. Very, very, very awesome. He does bring up a very, very interesting point about the ammunition on the arrows. Once you purchase a bow, or you get one in Zelda games, you often get enemies dropping arrows when you kill them. So yeah, it's pretty annoying if you've been going from there to this game, but as Waldo mentioned, using the rupees as arrows does make it pretty damn awesome, because rupees are quite easy to find. And yeah, as long as it's not too overpowered, then yeah, it's
okay. I didn't have any idea that the arrows consumed your...
Yeah, I thought you'd have to buy each new arrow when you needed an arrow. I'm like, that's a ripoff, you know?
They are some pretty damn expensive arrows, if that was the case.
Yeah.
I've been spamming with arrows for quite a while, and I had no idea about this, so I just have been wasting rupees like hell.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I don't use them much.
Oh, well.
So. Yeah.
So what's the thing with the extra keys? I mean, I've been getting a whole bunch of keys and not using them.
Well, you're doing a good thing at the moment, because you're actually able to finish the dungeons without looking at every single section of the dungeon. Which is a good and a bad thing, as long as you find the items that are listed in the first post of each thread, then you're doing alright. But it shows that you're very efficient. Yeah, I'm currently sitting on like 6 keys as well.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, it's because you know where those doors are that the old man is, and you don't have to go in there and waste a key.
Well, yeah, there is that as well.
I have only 2 keys, if I'm not mistaken.
I think I have like 3.
Yeah.
And once I use that arrows, I can get another one by defeating those bunny guys.
Or you can buy them from a shop.
Yeah,
for 100 rupees.
Yeah, that is pretty darn expensive for a key when you can just kill a couple of snakes and they just drop one instantly. Like, but then again, they only drop it once, so.
Yep.
Yeah. But I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they drop more keys than.
Yeah, they drop more keys than you need. Than,
yeah, exactly. So it
in
does
the earlier dungeons, more keys than what?
Yeah, more keys than the amount of doors that you need to use them.
True.
Yeah. It does make it a little bit more easier for the later dungeons, but as long as you know where you're going, then you're alright.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that wraps up the community responses for NGP, for The Legend of Zelda, for this episode. Okay, guys, so we will be releasing the new thread every Tuesday. The next thread to come up will be looking at dungeons 6 and 7. Now, if you want to join in on the discussion and join the podcast, you can actually contact me and Mike using private messaging. Just look us up on the forum team, or just find us on the forums and just send us a private message and we will get back to you. Which leads me on to where people can actually find you guys. So, Mike, where can people find you?
Well, you can contact me by sending a message to Roxas21691.
That's on the forums.
Exactly. I don't have the Twitter.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Melissa?
You can find me on Gaming Union. My username is Emmy, and you can find me on Twitter. My name there is Fatal Flare.
And you can find me on the Gaming Union forums under the username Behan, B-E-Y-H-A-N. And you can find me on Twitter under the username J-U-X-T-O-R, or Juxta. Okay, so that was the end of our first, or which really should be second episode. How was that, guys?
That was really good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I agree.
That was actually really fun. Okay, so, yeah. My name is Behan, and this is Mike.
Bye, everyone.
And Melissa.
See you, guys.
And we are signing off. See you later, guys.